This is Audible.
Simon & Schuster Audio presents Beautiful Stranger by Christina Lauren. Read by Jonathan Cole and Grace Grant.
Prologue. When my old life died, it didn't go quietly. It detonated. But to be fair, I'd been the one to pull the pin. In just 1 week, I rented out my house, sold my car, and left my philandering boyfriend. And though I'd promised my overprotective parents that I'd be careful, it wasn't until I was actually at the airport that I called ahead to let my best friend know I was moving her way. That's when it all seemed to sink in one perfectly clear moment. I was ready to start over. "Chloe? It's me," I said, voice shaking as I looked around the terminal. "I'm coming to New York. I hope the job's still mine." She screamed, dropped the phone, and reassured someone in the background that she was fine. "Sarah's coming," I heard her explain, and my heart squeezed just thinking about being there with them at the beginning of this new adventure. "She changed her mind, Bennett!" I heard a sound of celebration, a clap, and he said something I couldn't quite make out. "What did he say?" I asked. "He asked if Andy was coming with you." "No." I paused to fight back the sick feeling creeping up into my throat. I'd been with Andy for 6 years, and no matter how glad I was to be done with him, the dramatic turn in my life still felt surreal. "I left him." I heard her small, sharp inhale. "You okay?" "Better than okay." And I was. I don't think I realized exactly how okay I was until that moment. "I think it's the best decision you ever made," she told me, and then paused, listening as Bennett spoke in the background. "Bennett says you're going to shoot across the country like a comet." I bit my lip, holding back a grin. "Not too far off, actually. I'm at the airport." Chloe screeched some unintelligible sounds and then promised to pick me up at LaGuardia. I smiled, hung up, and handed the counter attendant my ticket, thinking a comet was too directed, too driven. I was really more like an old star, out of fuel, my own gravity pulling me inward, crushing me. I ran out of energy for my too perfect life, my too predictable job, my loveless relationship. Exhausted at only 27. Like a star, my life in Chicago collapsed under the force of its own weight, so I was leaving. Massive stars leave behind black holes. Small stars leave behind white dwarfs. I was barely leaving behind a shadow. All of my light was coming with me. I was ready to start over as a comet, refuel, reignite, and burn across the sky. One. "You're wearing the silver dress, or I'm stabbing you," Julia called from the kitchen zone, as I'd begun calling it. It certainly wasn't big enough to be labeled a full-fledged kitchen. I'd gone from an echoing, rambling Victorian in the Chicago suburbs to an adorable East Village apartment roughly the size of my former living room. It felt even smaller once I'd unpacked, put everything in its place, and had my two closest friends come over. The living room/dining room/kitchen area was framed by giant bay windows, but the effect was less palatial and more fishbowl. Julia was only visiting for the weekend, for this night of celebration, but she'd already asked me at least 10 times why I'd chosen such a tiny place. The truth was, I chose it because it was different from anything I'd ever known before, and because tiny apartments were pretty much what you were going to find in New York when you moved there without first securing a place to live. In the bedroom, I tugged on the hem of the miniature sequined dress and stared at the extreme amount of blindingly pale leg I was offering up tonight. I hated that my first instinct was to wonder if Andy would think it was too revealing, while my second instinct was to realize I loved it. I'd have to delete all of those old Andy programs immediately. Give me one good reason why I shouldn't wear this. Can't think of one. Chloe walked into the bedroom wearing a deep blue number that flowed around her like some kind of aura. She looked, as usual, unbelievable. We're drinking and dancing, so showing some skin is requisite. I don't know how much skin I want to show, I said. I'm dedicated to my freshly minted single girl card. Well, some of the women there will be showing bare ass, so you won't stand out if that's what you're worried about. Besides, she said, pointing to the street below, it's too late to change. The limo's here. You should be showing bare ass. You're the one who's been naked sunbathing and day drunk in a French villa for the past 3 weeks, I said. Chloe gave a little secret smile and tugged my arm. Let's go, gorgeous. I've spent the past few weeks with the BB. I'm ready for a night out with the girls. We piled into the waiting car, and Julia popped the champagne. With just one tingling, bubbling gulp, the entire world around me seemed to evaporate until we were just three young friends in a limo, barreling down the street to celebrate a new life. And this night, we weren't just celebrating my arrival. Chloe Mills was getting hitched, Julia was visiting, and the newly single Sarah had some living to do. The club was dark, deafening, and filled with writhing bodies. On the dance floor, in the halls, against the bar, a DJ spun music from a small stage, and flyers plastered all across the front promised that she was the newest and hottest DJ Chelsea had to offer. Julia and Chloe seemed entirely in their element. I felt like I'd spent most of my childhood and adult life so far at quiet, formal events. Here it was, as if I'd stepped out of the pages of my quiet Chicago story and into the quintessential New York tale instead. It was perfect. I shoved my way up to the bar, cheeks flushed, hair damp, and legs feeling like they hadn't been properly used like this in years. "Excuse me," I shouted, trying to get the bartender's attention. Though I had no idea what any of it actually meant, I'd already ordered slippery nipples, cement mixers, and purple hooters. At this point, with the club at maximum density and the music so loud it shook my bones, he wouldn't even look up at me. Admittedly, he was slammed, and making such a small number of tedious shots was annoying. But I had an intoxicated, newly affianced friend burning a hole in the dance floor, and said girlfriend wanted more shots. "Hey," I called, slapping the bar.
"Sure is doing his best to ignore you, isn't he?"
I blinked up and up at the man pressed close to me at the crowded bar. He was roughly the size of a redwood and nodded toward the bartender to indicate his meaning.
"You never yell at a bartender, Petal, especially not with what you're going to order. Pete hates making girly drinks."
Of course. It would be just my luck to meet a gorgeous man just days off swearing off men forever. A man with a British accent to boot. The universe was a hilarious bitch. "How do you know what I was going to order?" My grin grew wider, hopefully matching his, but most likely looking a lot tipsier. I was grateful for the drinks I'd already had, because sober Sarah would give him monosyllables and an awkward nod and be done with it. Maybe I was going to get a pint of Guinness. You never know.
"Unlikely. I've seen you ordering tiny purple drinks all night."
He'd been watching me all night? I couldn't decide if that was fantastic or a little creepy. I shifted on my feet and he followed my movements. He had angled features with a sharp jaw and a carved hollow beneath his cheekbones, eyes that seemed backlit and heavy, dark brows, a deep dimple on his left cheek when the grin spread down to his lips. This man had to be well over 6 feet, With a torso, it would take my hands many moons to explore. Hello, Big Apple. The bartender returned, then looked at the man beside me expectantly. My beautiful stranger barely raised his voice, but it was so deep it carried without effort. 3 fingers of McAllen's, Pete. And whatever this lady is having. She's been waiting a spell, yeah?
He turned to me, wearing a smile that made something dormant warm deep in my belly.
How many fingers would you like?
His words exploded in my brain, and my veins filled with adrenaline. What did you just say?
Innocence. He tried it on, smoothing it over his features. Somehow he made it work, but I could see from the way his eyes narrowed that there wasn't an innocent cell in his body.
Did you really just offer me 3 fingers? I asked.
He laughed, spreading out the biggest hand I'd ever seen on the bar just between us. His fingers were the kind that could curl around a basketball and dwarf it.
Petal, you'd best start with 2.
I looked more closely at him. Friendly eyes, standing not too close, but close enough that I knew he had come to this part of the bar specifically to talk to me.
You give good innuendo.
The bartender rapped the bar with his knuckles and asked for my order. I cleared my throat, steeling myself. 3 blowjobs. I ignored his irritated huff and turned back to my stranger.
You don't sound like a New Yorker,
he said, grin fading slightly but never leaving his constantly smiling eyes.
Neither do you.
Touché. Born in Leeds, worked in London, and moved here 6 years ago.
5 days, I admitted, pointing to my chest. From Chicago. The company I used to work for opened an office here and brought me back on to head up finance.
Whoa, Sarah, too much information. Way to enable stalkers.
It had been so long since I'd even looked at another man. Clearly Andy had been a master in this kind of situation, but unfortunately I had no idea how to flirt anymore. I glanced back to where I expected to see Julia and Chloe dancing, but I couldn't find them in the tangle of bodies on the floor. I was so rusty in this ritual I was practically re-virginized.
Finance? I'm a numbers man myself, he said, and waited until I looked back at him before turning the smile up a few notches. Nice to see women doing it. Too many grouchy men in trousers having meetings just to hear themselves say the same thing over and over.
Smiling, I said, I'm grouchy sometimes. I also wear trousers sometimes, too.
I bet you also wear pants.
I narrowed my eyes. That means something else in British, doesn't it? Are you giving me innuendo again?
His laugh spread warm across my skin. Pants are what you Americans so blandly call underwear.
When he said this, the un sounded like a noise he might make during sex, and something inside me melted. While I gaped at him, my stranger tilted his head, looking me over.
You're rather sweet. You don't look like you come to these kinds of establishments very often.
He was right, but was it that obvious? I'm really not sure how to take that.
Take it as a compliment. You're the freshest thing in this place.
He cleared his throat and looked to where Pete was returning with my shots.
Why are you carrying all these sticky drinks out to the dance floor?
My friend just got engaged. We're doing the girls' night out thing.
So then you're unlikely to leave here with me.
I blinked, and then blinked again, hard. With this frank suggestion, I was officially out of my depth. Way out of my depth. What? No.
Pity.
You're serious? You just met me.
And already I have a strong urge to devour you.
His words were delivered slowly, almost a whisper, but they rang through my head like a cymbal crash. It was obvious he wasn't new to this kind of interaction, the proposition of no strings attached sex. And although I was, when he looked at me like that, I knew I was bound to follow him anywhere. Every shot I'd had seemed to hit me all at once, and I weaved a little in front of him. He steadied me with his hand on my elbow, grinning down at me.
"Easy, Petal."
I blinked back into awareness, feeling my head clear slightly. "Okay, when you smile at me like that, I want to climb you. And God knows it's been forever since I've been properly manhandled." I looked him up and down, all pretense of polite society apparently gone. "And something tells me you could more than do the job. I mean, holy hell, look at you." And I did. Again. I took a steadying breath and was met with his amused grin. "But I've never just randomly hooked up with some stranger at a bar, and I'm here with my friends, celebrating the awesome marriage they're going to have, and so," I gathered up my shots, "we're going to do these." He nodded once, slowly, his smile turning a little brighter, as if he'd just accepted a challenge.
"Okay.
So I'll see you later."
"One can hope."
"Enjoy your three fingers, stranger." He laughed.
"Enjoy the blowjobs."
I found Chloe and Julia at the table, collapsed and sweaty, and slid the shots down in front of them. Julia put one in front of Chloe and held her own aloft.
"May all of your blowjobs go down so easily."
She wrapped her mouth around the rim, held both hands up in the air, and tipped her head back, swallowing the entire shot without blinking. "Holy balls," I mumbled, staring at her in awe as Chloe broke into laughter beside me. "Is that how I'm supposed to do it?" I lowered my voice, looking around. "Like an actual blowjob?"
"It's a miracle I still have any gag reflex."
Julia rather indelicately wiped her forearm across her mouth and chin, explaining,
"I did a lot of beer bongs in college."
"Let's go," she nudged Chloe.
"Bottoms up."
Chloe bent to the table and took the shot hands-free as Julia had, and then it was my turn. Both of my friends turned to look at me. "I met a hot guy," I said without thinking. "Really hot. And, like, 17 feet tall." Julia gaped at me. "Then why are you standing here doing fake blowjobs with us?" I laughed, shaking my head. I had no idea how to answer that. I could have left with him, and it really could have gone to BJ territory in someone else's far more daring life. "It's a girl's night out. You're only here for 2 days. I'm good."
"Fuck that noise. Go get some."
Chloe came to my rescue. "I'm just glad you met someone you thought was hot. It's been forever since you had this sort of happy boy-related smile." Her own smile vanished as she reconsidered. "Come to think of it, I've never seen you with a happy boy-related smile." And with that truth placed so plainly on the table, I picked up my shot, ignoring Julia's protest about my bad form, and downed it. It was sweet, delicious, and just what I needed to clear my head of the jerk in Chicago and the beautiful stranger at the bar. I dragged my friends out to the dance floor. Within seconds, I felt boneless, mindless, deliciously untethered. Chloe and Julia bounced around me. Yell sang the songs, lost themselves in the mass of sweaty bodies all around us. I wanted my youth to linger a little bit. Away from my routine, overscheduled life in Chicago, I could see I hadn't enjoyed it properly. Only here, with the DJ melting song to song, did I see how I could have spent my early 20s. Under the lights, dancing in a scrap of a dress, meeting men who wanted to devour me, watching my girlfriends be wild and silly and young. I didn't have to move in with my boyfriend when I was 22. I could have lived a life outside the straight and narrow world of society functions and glad-handing. I could have been this girl instead, dressed to the nines, dancing her heart out, Lucky for me, it wasn't too late. I met Chloe's elated smile and returned it. "I'm so glad you're here," she yelled over the music. I started to reply with some similar screaming drunken oath of friendship, but just behind Chloe, set into the shadows off the dance floor, stood my stranger. Our eyes met, and neither of us looked away. He was sipping his three fingers of scotch with a friend, but I could tell by how unsurprised he seemed to be caught staring that he'd been watching every move I made. The effect of this realization was more potent than the alcohol. It heated every inch of my skin, burned a hole directly through my chest and lower, down past my ribs and deep into my belly. He lifted his glass, took a sip, and smiled. I felt my eyes rolling closed. I wanted to dance for him. Never in my life had I felt so sexy, so completely in control of what I wanted. I'd made it through my master's degree, found a well-paying job, and even redecorated my house on a budget. But I'd never felt like a grown woman the way I did right now, dancing like crazy with a beautiful stranger standing in the shadows, watching me. This moment was exactly how I wanted to start fresh. What would it mean to be devoured? Did he mean that as explicitly as it sounded, his head between my thighs, arms wrapped to my hips, holding me open? Or did he mean over me, inside me, sucking my mouth and my neck and my breasts? A smile spread across my face, my arms stretched up to the ceiling. I could feel the hem of my dress inching up my thighs and didn't care. I wonder if he noticed. I hoped he noticed. If I thought he'd walk away, it would have deflated the moment, so I didn't look over his way again. I was unaccustomed to bar flirtation protocol. Maybe his attention lasted all of 5 seconds. Maybe it lasted all night. It didn't matter. I could pretend he was there in the darkness for as long as I was here in the strobing lights on the floor. I'd grown to never expect much of Andy's attention. But with this stranger, I wanted his eyes burning through my skin to where my heart thrashed against my ribs. I lost myself to the music and memories of his hand on my elbow, his dark eyes, and the word devour. Devour. One song bled into another, and then another, and before I could come up for air, Chloe's arms were around my shoulders and she was laughing into my ear, jumping up and down with me. "You've attracted an audience," she yelled so loud above the music that I winced, pulling back. She nodded to the side, and only then did I notice we were surrounded by a group of men wearing tight dark clothes and grinding suggestively at the air near them. Looking back at Chloe, I saw that her eyes were bright and so familiar, this take-no-prisoners woman who had worked her way to the top of what was now one of the world's largest media firms, and who knew exactly what this night meant to me. Suddenly, cool air spread over my skin from the fans overhead, and I blinked back into consciousness, still giddy that I was actually in New York City, actually starting over, actually enjoying myself. But behind Chloe, the shadows were dark and empty. No stranger stood there watching me. My stomach dropped a little. "I need to hit the ladies," I told her. I wormed my way through the circle of men, off the dance floor, and followed the signs to the second floor, which was essentially a balcony overlooking the entire club. I walked down a narrow hallway and into the bathroom, which was so bright that a pulse of pain spiked from my eyes to the back of my head. The room was eerily empty, and the music downstairs felt like it was coming up from underwater. On my way out, I fixed my hair, mentally high-fived myself for putting on a rumple-free dress, and touched up my lipstick. I walked out of the door and right into a wall of man. We'd been close at the bar, but not this close. Not my face to his throat, the smell of him surrounding me. He didn't smell like the men on the dance floor, awash in cologne. He just smelled clean, and like a man who did his laundry, and who also had a touch of scotch on his lips.
"Hello, Petal."
"Hi, stranger."
"I was watching you dance, you tiny wild thing."
"I saw you." I could barely catch my breath. My legs felt wobbly, like they weren't sure if they should collapse or go back to rhythmically bouncing across the floor. I chewed my bottom lip, suppressing a smile. "You're such a creepster. Why didn't you come out and dance with me?"
"Because I think you rather liked being watched instead."
I swallowed, gaping up at him and unable to look away. I couldn't tell what color his eyes were. At the bar, I'd assumed brown, but there was something lighter gleaming here in this part of the club, just above the strobes. Greenish. Yellow. Something mesmerizing. Not only had I known he was watching me, and liked it, but I'd danced entirely to the fantasy of him devouring me.
"Did you imagine I was getting hard?"
I blinked. I could barely keep up with his bluntness. Had men like this always existed, who said exactly what they, and I, were thinking without sounding scary or rude or pushy? How did he manage it?
"Wow," I gasped. "Were you?"
He reached down, took my hand, and pressed it firmly to where he was erect, already arching into my palm. Without thinking, I curled my fingers around him.
"This is from watching me dance?"
"Are you always such a performer?"
If I hadn't been so thunderstruck, I would have laughed.
"Never."
He studied me, the smile still in his eyes, but his lips fixed into something more thoughtful.
"Come home with me."
This time I did laugh.
"No."
"Come to my car."
"No! There is no way I'm leaving this club with you."
He bent and pressed a small, careful kiss to my shoulder before telling me,
"But I want to touch you."
I couldn't pretend that I didn't want it, too. It was dark, with flashing, arrhythmic lights and music so loud it felt like it hijacked my pulse. What harm could come from one wild night? After all, Andy had so many. I led him past the restrooms, farther down the narrow hallway, to a tiny, abandoned alcove overlooking the DJ station. We were trapped at a dead end, secluded around a corner, but by no means hidden. Other than the wall forming the back of the club, the rest of the space around us was open, and only a waist-high glass wall kept us from falling to the dance floor below.
"Okay. Touch me over here."
He raised an eyebrow, ran a long finger across my collarbone from one shoulder to the other.
"What exactly are you offering?"
I met those strangely backlit eyes that seemed so amused by everything around him. He looked normal, so sane for someone who followed me through a club and bluntly told me he wanted to touch me. I remembered Andy, and how rarely, outside of keeping up appearances, he ever wanted my touch, my conversation, my anything. Is this how it happened for him? A woman would pull him aside, offer herself, and he would take whatever he could before coming home to me? Meanwhile, my life had become so small I could hardly remember how I used to fill the long nights alone. Was it greedy to want it all? A career to die for and a crazy moment here and there?
"You're not a psychopath, are you?"
Laughing, he bent to kiss my cheek.
"You're making me feel a touch crazy, but no, I'm not."
I started, and then looked down. I pressed my hand flat against his chest. His gray sweater was unbelievably soft. Cashmere, I thought. His jeans were dark and fit him perfectly. His black shoes were unscuffed. Everything about him was meticulous. "I only just moved here. It seemed a fitting explanation for how much my hand was shaking against him.
And a moment like this doesn't feel very safe, does it?
I shook my head. Not at all. But then I reached up, wrapped a hand around the back of his neck, and pulled him to me. He moved willingly, bending down and smiling just before our lips met. The kiss was both the perfect kind of soft and the perfect kind of hard, with the scotch warming his lips against mine. He groaned a little when I opened my mouth and let him in, and the vibration set me on fire. I wanted to feel every one of his sounds.
"You taste like sugar. What's your name?"
he asked. With that, I felt my first real pulse of panic. No names. He pulled back to look at me, eyebrows inching up.
"What'll I call you?"
"What you've been calling me." "Petal," I nodded.
"And what'll you call me when you're about to come?"
He gave me another small kiss. My heart jerked hard in my chest at the thought. "I don't think it matters what I call you, does it?" Shrugging, he conceded.
"I don't suppose so."
I took his hand, brought it to my hip. I've been the only person to give myself an orgasm for the past year. Moving his fingers to the edge of my dress, I whispered, "Can you change that?" I could feel his smile against my mouth when he bent to kiss me again.
"You're serious."
The idea of giving myself to this man in this dark corner scared me a little, though not enough to change my mind. "I'm serious."
"You're trouble."
"I promise you I'm not." He pulled back just enough to examine my eyes. Back and forth his gaze moved until his eyes curved into that amused smile. "The fact that you have no idea how you come off." He turned me, pressed my front to the edge of the glass wall, so I was looking over the balcony at the mass of churning bodies below. Strobe lights pulsed down from iron beams that extended across the club just in front of me, lighting the floor beneath while keeping our upstairs corner virtually black. Steam began to blow up from vents in the dance floor, covering the partiers up to their shoulders. Waves broke out in the surface as they moved through it. My stranger's fingertips teased at the back edge of my dress, and then he lifted it, slid a hand down the back of my underwear, over my backside and between my legs, to where I positively ached for him. Even the vulnerable position didn't embarrass me as I arched back into his hand, already lost.
"You're drenched, sweetheart. What's it you like? The idea that we're doing this here? Or that I watched you think about fucking me while you danced?"
I didn't say anything, too afraid of what the answer might be. But I gasped when he slid a long finger inside me. Thoughts of what I should do blurred along the edges as I thought about boring Sarah in Chicago. Predictable Sarah who always did what everyone expected of her. I didn't want to be that person anymore. I wanted to be reckless and wild and young. I wanted to live for myself for the first time in my life.
"You're a tiny little thing, but when you're slippery like this, I'm quite sure you could easily take those 3 fingers.
He laughed into a kiss he pressed to the back of my neck as a broad fingertip circled my clit, teasing and slow. "Please," I whispered. I had no idea if he could hear me. His face was pressed to my hair, and I could feel his cock pressed to the side of my hip. But other than that, I was unaware of anything beyond his long finger sliding back into me.
"Your skin is amazing, particularly here."
He kissed my shoulder.
"Did you know the back of your neck is perfect?"
I turned, smiled up at him. His eyes were wide open and clear, and when they met mine, they curved into a smile. I'd never looked someone so closely in the eye when they were touching me like this, and something about this man and this night and this city made me immediately sure this was the best decision I'd ever made. Dear New York, you are brilliant. Love, Sarah. P.S. This is definitely not the alcohol talking. I don't have many chances to look at the back of my neck.
A shame, really.
He pulled his hand away, and I felt a mild chill where his warm fingers had been. He dug into his pocket and pulled out a tiny package. A condom. He just happened to have a condom in his pocket. It would never have occurred to me to bring a condom with me to some random club. Turning me to face him, he swiveled us, pressed me back against the wall, and bent to kiss me. First soft, and then harder, hungrier. When I thought I'd lose my breath, he wandered away, sucking at my jaw, my ear, my neck, where my pulse hammered wildly. My dress had fallen back down my thighs, but his fingers teased at the edge, slowly lifting.
"Someone could walk down here," he reminded me, giving me one last out, even as he lowered my panties enough for me to step out of them. I didn't care, not even a little. And maybe even a tiny part of me wanted someone to wander up here to see this perfect man touching me like this.
I could hardly think of anything other than where his hands were, how my skirt was over my hips now, how he pressed so hard and insistent against my stomach.
"Don't care. You're drunk. Too drunk for this. I want you to remember it if I fuck you."
So make it memorable. He lifted my leg, spreading me, exposing my bare skin to the cool air conditioning blowing from just above us, and hooked my knee around his hip, making me grateful for my 4-inch heels. Reaching between us, I unbuttoned his jeans, pushed his boxers down just enough in front to free him, and wrapped my hand around his erection, rubbing it across my wetness.
"Fuck, Petal. Let me get this on."
His pants were open but slung over his hips. From the back, we could even appear to be dancing, maybe just kissing. But he pulsed in my palm, and the reality of the situation made me wild. He was going to take me, right here, overlooking the crowd below. In that crowd were people who knew me as Good Sarah, Responsible Sarah, Andy's Sarah. New home, new job, new life. New Sarah. My stranger was heavy and so long in my hand. I wanted him, and was also a little terrified that he might impale me. I wasn't sure I'd ever held a man who got this hard.
"You're big," I blurted.
He smiled, a wolf, truly about to devour me, and quickly tore the condom package with his teeth.
"That is the best thing you can say to a man. You could even tell me you're not sure I'll fit."
I swept the tip across my opening and trembled from it. He was so warm. Soft skin, hard beneath.
"Fuck. I'm going to come all over your fist if you don't stop that."
His hands shook a little with urgency as he pulled himself from my grip to roll on the condom. "Do you do this a lot?" I asked. He was right there, poised against me, his smile aimed at my face.
"Do what? Sex with a beautiful woman who won't tell me her name and prefers me to fuck her in a public hallway rather than in a proper place like a bed or a limo?"
He started to push in, achingly slow. The light burned in his eyes and... holy crap! I didn't think sex with strangers was supposed to be intimate like this. He watched every reaction cross my face.
"No, Petal. I must admit I've never done this."
His voice was tight, and then his words fell away because he was deep inside me. Here in this chaotic club with living, breathing lights and music pulsing all around us, where people walked past unaware only 15 feet away. And yet, my entire world reduced to the place where he filled me, where he rubbed firmly against my clit with every stroke, where the warm skin of his hips pressed to my thighs. There wasn't any more talking, only small thrusts that grew faster and harder. The space between us filled instead with quiet sounds of praise and urging. His teeth pressed into my neck, and I gripped his shoulders for fear I might fall over the edge, or even somewhere else, not onto a dance floor, but into a world where I couldn't get enough of being so exposed, having my pleasure so visible to anyone watching, especially this man.
"Christ, you're gorgeous."
He leaned back, looking down, and sped up a little.
"I can't stop looking at your perfect skin, and, fuck, where I'm moving in you."
Light was clearly on his side, because to me he was backlit, just the silhouette of my stranger. I could see nothing when I looked down but dark shadows and the suggestion of movement. Him into me and out again, slick and hard, pressing against me with every pass. And, as if to emphasize that I didn't really need to see anyway, the lights dimmed almost to black as a lazy, oscillating beat filled the club.
"I took video of you dancing," he whispered.
It was a few long moments before his words registered above the feeling of him moving in me.
What? "I don't know why. I won't show it round. I just..."
He watched my face, slowing down enough, presumably, so I could think.
"You were so fucking possessed. I wanted to remember. Bloody hell, I feel like I'm confessing my sins."
I swallowed and he bent closer, kissing me before I asked. "Is it weird that I like that you did that?" He laughed into my mouth, moving in and out of me again with slow, deliberate strokes.
"Just enjoy it, right? I like to watch you. You were performing for me. There isn't anything wrong with it."
He lifted my other leg, wrapping both around his waist, and then, for the span of several perfect seconds in the darkness, he started to really move. Fast and urgent, he let out the most delicious grunts, and there would be no question what was happening if someone happened upon our little corner of this balcony. With that thought alone, where we were, what we were doing, and the possibility that someone could see this man taking me so roughly, I was lost. My head rolled back against the wall, and I could feel it. Feel it. Feel it. Building in my belly so low and heavy, an aching ball rolling down my spine and then out. Exploding along my sex, so hard I cried out, not even caring a little if anyone could hear me. I didn't even need to see his face to know he was watching me come apart.
Holy fuck.
His hips grew jagged and rough, and then he came with a low groan, fingers digging hard into my hips. He might bruise me, I thought. And then, I hope he bruises me. I wanted a reminder of this night and this Sarah when I left, to better differentiate the new life I was so determined to have from the old one. He stilled, leaning heavily against me with his lips planted gently against my neck.
"Good Lord, little stranger, you've wrecked me."
He pulsed in me, aftershocks of his orgasm, and I wanted him to stay buried deep like this for eternity. I imagined how we looked from across the club, a man pressing a woman to a wall, the hint of her legs around his hips visible in the darkness. His broad hand smoothed up my leg from my ankle to my hip, and then with a small moan, he pulled out, set me on my feet, stepped back, and unrolled the condom. Holy hell, I had never even come close to doing something this insane. My grin took over my entire face as my legs shook almost to the point of collapse. "Don't freak out, Sarah. Don't freak out." It was perfect. Everything about this had been perfect, but it had to end right here. Do it all differently. No names, no strings. No regrets. Straightening my dress, I stretched on my toes to kiss his lips once. That was unbelievable. He nodded, humming a little into the kiss.
"It was. Shall we?"
"I'm going to go downstairs." I began to back away and gave him a small wave. He stared at me, confused.
You're...
good. I'm good.
You're good?
He nodded, dazed.
So...
thanks. Adrenaline still buzzing in my veins, I turned before he could respond and left him standing with his pants unbuttoned, his lips twisted in a surprised grin. Minutes later, I found Chloe and Julia, both of them ready to head home. Arm in arm, we left the club, and only after we were in the limo and I was silently reliving every second of what had just happened with that strange, powerful man, did I remember. I'd left my underwear on the floor at his feet, and the video of me dancing on his phone.
2. Saturday, my life was perfect. Blazing career, orderly flat, several women available for play whenever and wherever. Sunday and Monday, a fucking mess. I was unable to concentrate, obsessively watching that damn video, and had a stranger's knickers burning a hole in my bedroom bureau. Shifting in my chair, I ran my thumb over the screen, turning my phone on for the 1,000th time today. The lunch meeting had veered off topic again, and I tried my best to look like I gave even the slightest fuck what anyone was going on about. But as soon as the topic of American football came back up, I was done. All I could think about was her anyway. I glanced down, making sure the volume was muted, and hesitating for only a moment before pressing play. The screen was dark, the image was blurry, but I didn't need to make out every detail to know what came next. Even without the sound, I could remember the throbbing music, the way her hips moved to the beat, while her skirt slipped further and further up her thighs. American women didn't appreciate the value of perfectly pale, unfreckled skin, but my stranger had the most exquisite skin I'd ever seen. Fuck, I would have licked her from ankle to hip and back again if she'd given me the chance. I knew now that she was dancing just for me, that she knew I was watching. And she fucking loved it. Christ, that tiny slip of a dress, her messy, chin-length caramel hair, and those enormous, innocent brown eyes. Those eyes made me want to do very, very bad things to her while she watched. A perfect arse and tits didn't hurt either. "You're a terrible lunch date, Stella." Will reached over and pulled a chip from my plate. "Hmm?" I murmured, eyes still down, careful not to react in any way. "You're discussing American football. I'm over here killed by boredom. I am sitting here, quite literally dead." "If there's one thing I'd learned in this business, it's that you never, ever show your cards, even when you're holding the worst hand imaginable. Or a video of a girl dancing just before you fucked her against a wall. Whatever you're looking at on that phone is obviously 100 times better than how the Jets are gonna look this year, and you're not sharing." If only he knew. "Taking a peek at the market," I said, with a small shake of my head. I almost whimpered as I closed the video, slipping my phone into the inside pocket of my suit jacket. "Boring stuff." Will drained the last of his drink and laughed. "I hate that you're such a good liar. If we hadn't been best mates since opening one of the most successful venture capital firms in the city 3 years ago, I might have actually believed him." "I think you're looking at porn on your phone." I ignored him. "Hey, Max." James Marshall, our head tech advisor, piped in. "Whatever happened with that woman you were talking to at the bar?" Normally, when my best mates asked about a random woman I'd met, I'd shrug and say, "quick shag," or even simply, "limo." But for some reason, this time I shook my head and said, "nothing." Another round of drinks arrived at our table, and I thanked the server absently, even though I hadn't yet touched my first one. My gaze moved restlessly around the room. It was the typical lunchtime crowd, business meetings and ladies who lunch. I wanted to crawl out of my skin. James groaned, closing the file he'd been looking over as he slipped it into his briefcase. He lifted his glass to his forehead, wincing. "Is anyone else still paying for the weekend, though? I'm too old for that shit anymore." I lifted my scotch to my lips and immediately regretted it. How could a drink I'd had practically every day since puberty suddenly remind me of a woman I'd seen exactly once? I looked up at the sound of a throat clearing. "Hey," Will said. I followed his gaze to where a man was crossing the dining room. "Isn't that Bennett Ryan?" "Well, I'll be damned," I said, as the tall shape of my old friend moved across the restaurant. "Do you know him?" James asked. "Yeah, we went to uni together. He was my flatmate for 3 years. Called a couple of months ago, wanted to borrow my place in Marseille to propose to his girlfriend. We talked about Ryan Media's expansion to the New York office." We watched as Bennett stopped at a table on the far side of the room, smiling like an idiot before bending to kiss a stunning brunette. "I'm guessing France did the trick." Will laughed. But it wasn't the future Mrs. Bennett Ryan who had my attention. It was the beautiful woman who stood beside her, reaching for her purse. Caramel honey hair. The same red lips I'd been kissing at the club. The same wide brown eyes. It was all I could do to stay in my chair and not go straight to her. She smiled at Bennett, and then he said something that made both women laugh as the three of them left the restaurant, and I could do nothing but stare on. I supposed it was time to pay my old friend a visit. Max Stella. Large metal doors separating an inner office from Ryan Media's outer reception area opened, and the man himself walked out to meet me. "How the hell are you?" I stepped away from the floor-to-ceiling windows overlooking Fifth Avenue and shook Bennett's hand. "Brilliant," I said, glancing around. The space itself was at least 2 stories high in the atrium, and the polished marble flooring gleamed in the full sun. A small seating area was set off to the side, with leather couches and an enormous glass bubble chandelier hanging from at least 20 feet up. Behind the broad reception desk, a smooth waterfall was built into the wall, the water cascading over slate-blue stone. A small cluster of employees hurried from the elevators to various offices, throwing Bennett nervous glances. "Looks like you're settling right in." He motioned for me to follow him inside. "We're slowly getting things rolling. New York is, after all, still New York." He led me into his office, a corner suite with seamless windows and a breathtaking view of the park. "And the fiancé?" I asked, nodding to a framed photograph on his desk. "I'm guessing she liked the Mediterranean. Why else would she agree to marry an arrogant twat like you?" Bennett laughed. "Chloe is perfect. Thanks for letting me take her there." I shrugged. "Just an empty house most of the time. I'm glad it did the trick." Gesturing for me to sit, Bennett sat himself in a large wingback chair, his back to a wall of windows. "It's been a while. How are things?" "Fantastic." "So I hear." He scratched his jaw, studying me. "I'd love for you to come over sometime now that we're moved in. I've told Chloe all about you." "I hope that's a slight exaggeration." Of anyone in New York, Bennett Ryan probably had the most dirt from my wildest days. "Well," he conceded, "I've told her just enough to want to meet you." "I'd love to catch up any time." I glanced at the buildings out the window behind him, hesitating. Bennett wasn't easy to read in these kinds of situations. It was one of the things that made him so good at what he did. "But I'll admit that I'm here to ask a favor." He leaned forward, smiling. I figured. I'd comfortably worked with some of the most intimidating people in the world, but Bennett Ryan never failed to make me take the time to choose my words carefully, particularly when asking about something this delicate. "I've been a bit preoccupied with a woman I met the other night. I let her go before getting her number, and I've been kicking myself ever since. As luck would have it, I spotted her having lunch with you and your lovely Chloe yesterday afternoon." He considered me for a moment. "You're talking about Sarah?" "Sarah," I said, perhaps a bit too triumphantly. "Oh no," he said, immediately shaking his head. "Not a chance, Max." "What?" But with Bennett, I couldn't maintain an innocent expression for long. The man knew me only from my university days, maybe not the best representation of good behavior. Chloe will have my balls if she finds out I let you anywhere near Sarah. No way. I pressed a hand to my chest. I'm wounded, mate. What if my intentions are honorable? Bennett laughed and stood to walk over to the window. Sarah's... he hesitated. She's just come out of a bad breakup. And you're... he looked at me and raised an eyebrow. You're not her type. Come on, Ben. I'm not a 19-year-old wanker anymore. He threw me an amused smirk. Okay, but you're talking to the man who saw you successfully hook up with 3 women in a single evening, without any of them knowing about the others. I grinned. You've got it all wrong. They were all very well acquainted by the end of the night. Are you shitting me? Just give me a number. We'll consider it a thank you for the loan of my gorgeous villa. You are such an asshole. I believe I've heard that before, I said, standing. Sarah and I, we had an interesting conversation. A conversation. Sarah had a conversation with you. I'm skeptical. A rather enjoyable one, yes. She's intriguing, that little one. Unfortunately, we were interrupted before I could get her name. I see. What luck I had running into you lot and all. I raised my eyebrows expectantly. Lucky, yes. Smiling, Bennett took his seat again, looking up at me. But I'm afraid you'll have to find your luck somewhere else. I'm quite fond of my testicles. I'd like to keep them. I'm not going to smooth the way for you here. You always were a prick. So I've heard. Lunch Thursday? You bet. I left Bennett's office, intent on having a look around the company's new quarters. They'd taken over 3 floors of the building, and I'd heard they'd already had quite a bit of work done. The spacious atrium was breathtaking, but the office areas were just as lush, with wide hallways, travertine floors, and plenty of natural light coming through windows, glass block walls, and skylights. Each office seemed to have a small sitting area, nothing to match Bennett's, but perfect for sit-downs that didn't call for the formality of a conference room. That said, the conference room was breathtaking, a wall of windows looking out on Midtown Manhattan, a wide, polished walnut table that seated at least 30, and state-of-the-art technology for presentations. Not bad, Ben, I murmured, walking back into the hallway and staring up at a large Timothy Hogan photography installment. Good taste in art for a total wanker. What are you doing here? I looked up to find a very surprised Sarah, frozen halfway down the hall. I couldn't help breaking into a grin. This really was my lucky day. Or not, if her expression was any indication. Sarah, I sang. What a lovely surprise. I was just at a meeting. I'm Max, by the way. Pleasure to finally put a name to the... I dropped my eyes and studied her chest, and then the rest of her, through her snug black dress. Face. Christ, she was hot. When I looked back up, her eyes had grown to roughly the size of dinner plates. Honestly, the woman had the most enormous brown eyes. If they were any bigger, she'd be a lemur. She grabbed my arm, pulling me down a hallway, her fitted knee-high boots clacking on the stone tiles. Lovely to see you again so soon, Sarah. How did you find me? She whispered. A friend of a friend. I waved my hand dismissively and looked her over. Her bangs were swept to the side and held in place by a tiny red clip which matched her full crimson lips. She looked like she had stepped right out of some 60s photo shoot. Sarah is quite a lovely name, you know. She narrowed her eyes. I should have guessed you're a psychopath. I laughed. Not quite. A young woman walked by, ducking her head and muttering a timid, "Good afternoon, Miss Dillon," before scampering away. "And we have a last name. Thank you, terrified intern." "Ah, Sarah Dillon," I crowed. "Perhaps we could continue this conversation in a more private location?" She looked around and dropped her voice. "I'm not having sex with you in my office, if that's what you're here for." Oh, she was fantastic. "Actually just came by to welcome you properly to New York, but I suppose I could just do that out here." "You have 2 minutes," she said, turning on her heel and moving toward her office. We turned corner after corner, finally reaching another smaller reception area lined in windows overlooking the city skyline. A young man sitting at a circular desk looked up at us as we passed.